This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey, ladies, welcome back. So glad that you're listening in, and welcome, especially if you're new. So I feel really sick and gross, so I'm not gonna make this super long. I thought it was really funny though, on Wednesday when we did our Struggle Well Wednesday, so many people were sick. I don't know if you noticed that NyQuil actually commented and said, "I hope you guys feel better." When NyQuil gets involved, you know that it's serious. I am working on feeling better, and I hope you guys who were completely gross and nasty sick, I hope that you're getting better too. This is episode 76. And I am sharing my conversation with Kayla Craig. Kayla has 4 kids, but before that, she was a journalist, which sounds super exciting. And I also just listened to her own podcast and realized that she also has a history as an improv actress, which is also very interesting. In this conversation, we talk about self-care, finding peace in the midst of kids with a lot going on, and how Iowa and Idaho are not the same place. And she shares a really encouraging story about how her and her husband were both praying about a really big life choice at the same time, and they didn't know it, and they ended up at the very same place. And they came back together after a lot of processing separately. I love that. She also talks about some practical ways to advocate for her children, which is something that she learned from her mom. Let's go ahead and get started. Okay, hold up real quick. I changed my mind. I actually want to kind of circle the wagons and have a little conversation. You guys are the marketing department of this podcast. You make nothing for it, but I know that it just warms your heart so much to do it that you don't mind doing it for free forever. Thank you for that. It also helps on taxes. I don't have to give you a W-2, and you don't have to like file a special sheet or something. Anyway, so I was thinking that I think I've figured out a way that we could kind of like cause some hype surrounding the show, you know? I just am not seeing enough like paparazzi out in front of my house. And I think that if some of you wouldn't mind being the paparazzi, then other people would think, oh my gosh, what is that gaggle of people? And then we would have a chance to tell them about the show. That makes sense. I feel like that's a really good idea. And I need you to get like those old fashioned cameras that have like the big flash. Like no, the phone just doesn't really do it. You know what I'm saying? So if you have some extra time, which I know we all have, it's just a lot of extra time. If you have one of those old cameras with like a really big flash, and if you're kind of like outdoorsy, please come like spend some time, some hours in my bushes so that when I come out, the flash can go off. And then I just really feel like that would take the show to another level. Do you know what I mean? So contact me if you do want to kind of like be a creeper out in front of my house, because I have openings available for that. Okay, awesome. Let's go ahead and get started with the show. Hey, Kayla, how are you today?
I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
I'm good. What was the best part of your day today?
Oh, the best part of my day. So today was an ice day. We live in Iowa, and it rained and then everything froze. So everyone was home today. No preschool, no kindergarten. But thankfully, my kindergartner and my 3-year-old played together, which is really good. And then a friend braved the roads, and we just got to hang out for a little bit.
What a nice friend.
I know, right?
She took her life in her own hands.
I know. And she couldn't park in one side of our house because her car kept like slipping down. So she had to drive around and park in our driveway instead.
She really did go on an adventure for you.
I know, right? That's the test of a true friend.
It is. So do you guys have a lot of ice days?
No. Okay. It's so weird. It's so random. Like snow days, yes, but ice, it's kind of weird.
Huh. Well, are you guys going back to school tomorrow, or do you not know yet?
It's a delay tomorrow.
Okay.
So I love that because I'm not a morning person. And so we're always almost a little bit delayed every day. So an official delay is fabulous.
That's so good. You don't have to feel bad about what's already going to happen anyway.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. So are you from Iowa forever?
Yeah, I'm okay. An Iowa girl through and through, different places around the state. Brief stint to our neighbors to the north in Minnesota, and then back to Iowa.
And your husband's from Iowa?
Yeah.
Iowan? Yep. Is that what you call him?
Yeah, not from Idaho. A lot of people get that mixed up. Yeah,
I know, I immediately thought of potatoes, and that's not
yes.
Right.
No, are no, you no, like we're, corn? We're corn.
Corn, okay.
And soybeans.
Of course, I didn't even know that. Yeah. Okay, so will you tell us about your family?
Yes, I'm married to my husband, Johnny, and we have four kids. Our kindergartner is Joseph, and he came to us via international adoption.
Okay.
Then we have Joseph, we already have Joseph. We have okay, Asher, who's three.
Okay,
who? Yeah, we already got that one. Asher is three, and then he's biological son. And then we have two babies. We have Eliza, who just turned one, and she came to us through domestic special needs adoption. And then we have Abram, who is 9 months. And he's biological.
Okay. Well, so did you set out to do all the different possible kinds of adoption?
No.
Just to say, look at my resume.
Yeah, I guess the next one would be foster care adoption.
Yeah. So,
yeah. No, it wasn't how it set out, but that's just what God brought to us. And we had a very kind of open hands, open heart about it. And that's how he formed our family, which has been fun.
I love that. Okay, so did infertility kind of spark the adoption thing, or you just wanted to adopt?
No, we just felt very, very led to adopt and grow our family primarily first through adoption. My husband and I both just felt that the Lord was prompting us, that there were kids that were born that needed families, and we were open to the idea of adoption.
Were you both on the same page at the same time?
We actually were. Okay. It was kind of a crazy, because I know that's not always common, but for us, I started having like some dreams about adoption, and I just kept seeing adoption stuff all over, you know, turn on the TV, turn on my computer, everything was bringing me back to this. And I didn't tell my husband about it because we were young, fairly newlyweds, working entry-level jobs. And I was like, this is kind of weird. Like, I don't know. I'm just going to like think about this.
Okay.
And then little did I know, my husband was kind of going through the same thing. Huh. He's a pastor now, but he did a year of law school, and he was in law school, and they were learning about, I believe it was like the crisis in Darfur, and he just couldn't get out of his mind the kids that were being left behind. So he was going through processing that. I was processing this.
God really can use anything, right?
Yeah, you know? Right? And so we were driving back to visit some family late at night, and my husband turned on the radio and looked at me, and he said, Kayla, there's something I want to talk to you about. Ooh. And I was like, wait, I know exactly what you're going to say.
I love that.
That's what happened. And
wow. And that's, you really can't deny that it's God if that you both came to the same conclusion.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Okay. So I know that at least two of your kiddos have some health conditions, right?
Yep.
I wanted to talk about, obviously there's challenges with it. And I think that for moms who, I know I have a lot of moms who listen, who have kiddos with special needs or some kind of health condition. But I wanted to ask, what brings you peace in the midst of walking with your kiddos with special needs? And you can share what their health stuff is if you want.
But yeah. You so Joseph, who is six, he has sickle cell. Mm-hmm. And that is an inherited blood disorder that you're born with, that you get a trait kind of like blue eyes, brown eyes. Mm-hmm. It's that type of thing. And so it's a blood disorder that...
It's really painful, right?
Yes, very painful. The blood cells turn into like a half moon sickle shape, and then they kind of cluster, and the blood can stop flowing to like vital organs. And it can be really serious. If he has a fever, we have to treat it by going to the emergency room and get some pretty intense antibiotics and get blood drawn to make sure that he doesn't have bacteria in his body that would cause him to get extra sick. Okay. And praise God, he's been pretty healthy, which is, I feel really thankful for, because some kids, I mean, it's kind of a spectrum of how it affects different kids.
Okay.
And some kids are in the hospital all the time and really serious.
Is that something that can progress to that? Or is it kind of where he's at, he'll always be at that level?
It tends to get a little worse as they get older. Okay. Yeah. But everyone is different. The hard thing is that it's a pretty underfunded, researched. Okay. Yeah. It primarily manifests in people of color, so of African descent or Mediterranean descent. Okay. And it just sadly isn't really researched as much as it could. But there are some promising studies coming out. And as a mom of a special needs child, you become like chief researcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question. Just racially, do you think that's why it's underfunded?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I hate that.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So what do you do to advocate for him? Do you do anything to get it funded? Or is that like so big of a thing that that's not really something you tackle?
I mean, I try to just raise awareness.
Okay.
So using, you know, talking to people, a lot of people don't even know it exists. And then letting them know, like, this is what my son deals with, and sharing. And I feel like I'm advocating a lot every time I take him to the hospital. Is it not even... There's a lot of health professionals that aren't super familiar with it, and just advocating, you know, in that way on his behalf and on any other child or adult who is really fighting through sickle cell as well.
Yeah. Well, and then you have a daughter who you said has Down syndrome.
Yes, she does. She is a joy, like sweetest baby ever. But she is going through something. It's a rare, pretty intense form of epilepsy called infantile spasms. Mm-hmm. And any child can have it. It's a little more common to have if you have Down syndrome, but it's just kind of stopped her developmentally right now. She has so much static going on in her little brain. Okay. And so we've kind of been trying all different types of intense medicines. And now we're starting a special diet for her and just trying to do everything we can in addition to, you know, physical therapy, occupational therapy.
Girl, you're busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So in the midst of all that kind of unknown and all that busyness and all the things you have to keep straight and the appointments and the diets and the things like that, how do you find peace?
I think something that I always kind of reminded myself when we had a pretty difficult time adopting Joseph. He was adopted from Nigeria.
Okay.
And we had a long process. And then when I was in country, we had to fight through a lot of, you know, bureaucratic red tape, and things started kind of falling apart on the government wise. And
were you there longer than you thought then because of that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I was there by myself as a 23-year-old.
Dang. Wow.
But God,
were your parents freaking out?
You know what? I don't know. I think they realize now, like, it was scary, and now they realize how scary it was even then. You know, I think they just knew, like, I was like, this is the safest place I can be, is being obedient to what I need to do. But looking back, even I'm like, wow, that was crazy.
So funny.
But yeah, there's a lot of stories I could tell about all the different ways things were orchestrated that I can only trace back to God, you know? But something I always reminded myself was God loves Joseph even more than I can. And I feel like I have so much love in my heart for him that I could literally burst. And so if I have all of this love and care for this child, how much more does God love him? Infinitely more. You know, God took care of Joseph for the first year of his life before we even knew about him, you know, and God took care of Eliza when she was growing in her birth mother's womb before I even knew about her. And when she was born and I didn't even know about her, we adopted her when she was 3 weeks old.
Okay.
And so just reminding myself, like, God has created these children and he loves them so much. And every time that I'm hurting for them, I really believe the Lord is hurting for them too.
Yeah.
And just reminding myself, like, God is here in this hospital room or in this waiting room. Like, we're not alone. Like, just kind of, I always go back to, God loves my kids more than I do. And I feel like I can't love my kids anymore.
So when you're in hospitals and waiting rooms and all that, what do you do at the end of the day, or maybe whenever you can catch a moment to care for yourself? Because that's also something that we just really fall down on as moms.
Yeah, it's hard. It is hard. And I wish I did it better. But I think something that is life-giving to me is, honestly, my husband and I are both quality time people. We're both extroverts. And so even at the end of the day, we can just sit and, like, talk each other's ears off. That is life-giving to me. And being able to process through what's going on and just encourage each other and just be with each other is really a comfort to me. And I also just love, you know, having a few key people that I can text or call and just update, you know, like, this is what's going on. And I know that they care, you know? Yeah. So I think that extroverted part of me wants to connect with somebody else and process through.
For sure. Do you find that some moms don't get what you're going through or say things that aren't sensitive or, cause I mean, my kids don't have those situations. And so I guess I'm always afraid I'm going to be a doofus on accident.
Yeah, I think sometimes we just don't know what we don't know. And yeah. So, you know, there are things that people say, like, you know, and probably mothers that have really large families, like, roll their eyes at people that have 2, 3, 4 kids when they are mothering 8 kids, you know? Mm-hmm. So I had someone, I said, Joseph is really sick right now, and we're probably going to have to go to the hospital and really have a lot of anxiety. I was processing through some stuff. And this person said to me, oh, yeah, well, my son has. And then she said something. It was like a wart on his toe or something. And I was like, oh, really? He has a wart on his toe? That's devastating, you know? And, you know, it was probably her way of trying to connect. But it just came off like, you know, my son has a serious chronic illness. Maybe not the most appropriate, but it's probably coming from a good place, you know?
Well, you're nice for giving the benefit of the doubt. But gosh, that's tricky.
Yeah.
Okay, so a big deal for you is educating people on identity and race and adoption, things like that. So you wrote a book, and what's it called again?
It is called Just Really Joseph.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, from what you've told me, a lot of this kind of passion for justice and educating and advocating comes from the modeling that your mom did. I really wanted to have you tell me the story about the lunches.
Yes. So my mom, we don't always have the same personality. She's a lot more easygoing and introverted and just an easygoing, warm person.
Okay.
So she might not think of herself as someone who is, like, you know, stood on the hard line for justice.
Okay.
But she is so influential for me. So I went to a public elementary school that had a pretty significant number of low income children.
Okay.
And my mom was a wonderful stay-at-home mom and poured a lot into volunteering at our elementary school. And, you know, as a kid, I just thought, oh my gosh, she can't get enough of me. Like, she just has to come even, you know. kids don't have any idea, like, oh, she's trying to, like, serve the community.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter always wants me to come. They only go 2 days a week. And she was like, come and open the lunches for the kids and stuff. And I'm the opposite of that. I'm like, no, that is why you go. You were with me 5 days a week. So I'm the opposite of your mom. But go ahead. Let's talk about your great mom.
So anyway, my mom, one of her main things was, like, lunchroom duty. And she started noticing that some kids were not getting hot lunch. Like, they didn't come with a packed lunch and they weren't getting a hot lunch. And if they were getting something, they were getting this, like, old mushy peanut butter sandwich, like awful. Mm-hmm. And she started, you know, kind of like asking the lunch ladies, like, what's going on? And they're like, well, if they can't pay, they don't eat.
That's so sad, because the kid can't. It's not the kid's fault.
No. And it was just devastating. And so much shame goes into that. And so not only.
And I can just say, if I can just interrupt for a second, every once in a while, I would forget my lunch money. And I've had those peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And they were it was so embarrassing. And I only had them a couple times. You know what I mean? But it's just like, you stick out like a sore thumb.
Not only are you not getting that nourishment, but it's embarrassing and full of shame. And and it's not your fault. Like, it's not a kid's fault. So she really, like, I saw this other side of her come out, and she talked to the principal, and she wrote letters, and she went to meetings, and she pushed and she advocated for these kids and got things changed so that no matter what, there were kids would have food, warm food to eat at lunch. And it was just seeing her spend time at home writing these letters, getting out of her comfort zone, working on behalf of children who didn't have anyone to advocate for them or didn't know that this was going on or whatever the case was. You know, it wasn't her natural inclination to fight against the powers that be of, you know, this little elementary school, but she did because she saw a need and nobody else was stepping up to use their voice. And I feel like that, looking back and reflecting as an adult, that was really formative to me and something that I soaked in just as this child, kind of seeing this play out and seeing my mom's compassion and hurt for these kids manifest itself into action. And I think I've taken that on as an adult.
I would say that you have. I would definitely say that you have. I love seeing the things that you post and the heart behind it and y'all's podcast that you started, the Upside Down podcast. I will link to that. I think it'd be easy for her to say, that's not my problem, or
right,
there's nothing that can be done about that, or that would be really uncomfortable to talk to the principal about this.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes we just think, well, I'll just write a check and I'll just make it happen.
Right. Like putting a Band-Aid on it instead of going to the root of the problem. And
yeah. I think when I became a mom, both my kids were adopted and I had a little bit of a hard time kind of appropriating that role. I felt like being the mom, maybe it didn't come natural and it wasn't super easy. And I didn't always feel like I had any idea what I was doing. But you mentioned that you sometimes have to take on this mama bear role. And I think we all have to do that in some capacity. But what is that looking like for you in your daily life?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I've tried to be like a nice mama bear, you know?
Yeah.
But if I need to like really get up and roar, I will.
Yeah.
And it manifests itself in different ways and the different needs that my kids have. And they all have different needs, you know? No matter whether your child has quote unquote special needs or not, our children are all different and they all have needs and they all need a mom that will stand up for them and mm-hmm. help them. And so two of my children have brown skin.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I am going to try to try to advocate against racial injustice no matter what. And mm-hmm. it just becomes even more so now that I'm parenting children of color. And that is a very important part of my life. Joseph's special needs. So if we go to the doctor, I'm gonna advocate for him. Like I am gonna say, this is what he needs. He needs these shots. And I'm there and I'm fighting and I'm asking, you know, when he had some other issues, I was online researching, saying, should we try this supplement or this medicine? And mm-hmm. for Eliza, in constant contact with our neurologist, and she was probably getting annoyed with me, but I'm like, we need to be aggressive and we need to treat this, because if I didn't do it, who would do it?
Yeah.
And it's an honor to advocate for my children, but it's hard sometimes. And it's not like I want to get in and be like mean, but I just want to get in and make sure that I'm doing everything I can to keep my children healthy and safe and loved.
Yeah. I think assertive is different than aggressive, but sometimes we think they're the same, or sometimes we feel afraid. And so we go right to aggressive, and then that kind of shuts everything down.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think sometimes I was having this conversation with a friend that, so my husband and I have the exact same personality, which is kind of weird, right?
Does that work well?
Personality with your husband?
No.
It actually does. Yeah, it really does. And I'm sure it wouldn't for everyone, but it really does for us. We really understand each other.
That's so good. If I had to live with myself, oh my gosh, it would last for like 3 minutes.
He came home from a meeting and was like, well, they said I was like, you know, sometimes I'm too passionate. And I'm like, oh, well, when I came from a meeting, they said, sometimes you're too aggressive. And I feel like those people meant the same thing. But as a woman, you're called aggressive. And as a man, you're called passionate.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a whole long conversation.
Right?
Yeah. Well, so, okay, your marriage, what is that like with four kids? I only have two, and so four stresses me out.
Double.
Yeah. How do you kind of diffuse stress, especially when you're married to basically your same person?
Mm-hmm.
So you just spend quality time together, or how do you work out kind of the tangles you get into with this many kids, with this many, not issues sounds negative, but this many factors?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And I think sometimes when you have children with special needs or there's some sort of traumatic event going on in your home, it can be easy to default and turn against each other
mm-hmm.
in a marriage when that's like the opposite of what you should be doing. Like instead you should be like linking arms and being a team, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think there's sometimes it's easy to fall into that trap and start to turn on each other. But in those moments when you can say, you know what, we're going to tackle this and we're going to tackle it together and whatever's going to happen, like we're on the same team and mm-hmm. we're going to link arms and be together. I think it's so much more healthy and just really affirming.
Is there anything you practically do to kind of make that happen?
I don't know. We communicate a lot. We probably over communicate about just about everything, but it is really helpful for us. And that's, you know, part of our personalities. There's nothing off the table. So I really share with my husband everything. He's very open book with me. We have a very much a partnership family. So it's not just all on me. Like it's not my burden to take care of all these children with special needs and mm-hmm. different ages and two babies and adoption and all these things. It's not just me. It's me and him working together. Like, we created this family together and we're yeah. a team. So
that's so good.
Yeah. Tangibly, communication.
Okay.
You know, I have a planner that we keep on the kitchen counter and we just write what's going on in the planner, and we have Google Calendar, and we're very much try to communicate what's going on. Like, my husband will take Eliza to therapy sometimes. Like, he's a very hands-on dad and he's a great husband, and he lets me sleep in the mornings. A lot of times he's the one that packs my son lunch in the morning and takes him to school.
He sounds great. Yeah. My husband is, I don't realize how much he does until he had this surgery and he can't do anything. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me? I'm doing everything. It's really, it makes me really thankful.
Yeah.
And thankful that this is not forever. Come back. Right. Get back to work. I'm dying here. Just kidding. My husband, something that he tells me when we're in, like, things are getting a little heated or whatever, which doesn't happen a lot, but he'll just tell me, you are not my problem. Just to kind of remind himself that he's not fighting against me.
Like, right.
The issue is not me. Or he'll tell me, I am not your problem. Like, you're hungry. That's your yes. problem. You know?
Oh, whatever. Yeah. I get hangry all the time.
It's bad. I think of it now as like the put the oxygen mask on yourself first. So I eat dinner sometimes while I'm making dinner, just so nobody gets hurt.
That's hilarious.
I had to let go of wanting to all, like, sit down at the table at the same time and talk about our, I mean, my son threw up on the table because he didn't like the meal recently.
Oh,
he's not even
goodness.
Sick. He just didn't like it, you know? So letting go of dinner being amazing and, like, Beaver Cleaver's house. I eat while I'm cooking so I don't hurt anybody.
That is a great mom hack. Yeah. Like that. My 3-year-old today had a mega tantrum because I didn't make him a special dinner. I was like, you know what? We're all going to eat dinner, you know, and I made, like, just a normal traditional family dinner, and mm-hmm. it was total meltdown city forever. And I was just like, why should have I just made the peanut butter sandwich? You know, I was trying. That stuff is so hard.
It is. Because you want to, like, some days you're strong on it and some days you're like, whatever, peanut butter for days. I don't even care.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. You need to have a, like, picky eating expert on here.
I do. You're right. What? Okay, this is what I love is give them the vegetables first when they're hungry. Then they get them in because they are just so hungry they'll eat anything.
Right.
Then at least if they don't like the meal, you know they had a cucumber.
Sure.
All right, so what would you say to encourage a mom who just feels really overwhelmed? Maybe there's a new diagnosis, maybe, I don't know, there's just so much going on, she feels kind of buried.
I think a lot of times people feel like that's for somebody else, that's not for me.
Like, what is?
Like, somebody else has a sick kid. I don't have a sick kid, you know? It's like this kind of, like, shock. Like, this couldn't be our reality. This couldn't be our life. Like, I'm not strong enough to deal with this. Like, okay. I'm not special enough to have a special needs kid, you know, like there's, I think sometimes we get into that rut, but the thing is God equips us and God gives us strength for the day.
Yeah.
We don't have to know, like when I start to feel that anxiety and that worry about what's going to happen in the future, I have to go back, and there's so much in scripture that talks about that. Like, we don't need to worry about tomorrow. Like, God cares for us so much. He cares about the sparrow, you know? Yeah. And so how much more does he care about us? And just that kind of reminder, like, we don't need to know it all because we can't know it all. Mm-hmm. Even in when we think we do, even if you have a completely great thing going and nothing is troubling on the horizon, like, you don't know what's going to happen next.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would just encourage the moms out there, like, you might not feel like you can do it, but you can do it because God can do it through you. And you just have to get through today. And sometimes you just have to get through the next hour, but you can do it.
Yes. Set a timer on your phone and see if you can just not die for the next hour.
Right.
some days are that intense.
Yeah, for real.
I had a friend who said that she calls her husband sometimes in the middle of the day when it's really hard and just says, they're winning. The kids are winning. It just made me laugh so hard because, wow, they win sometimes.
And you're in the bathroom and the little fingers are, like, coming through the cracks fingers. And it's like a horror movie and you're just like, no!
Yes, and it feels like a horror movie when you can't even be alone there.
I know.
So funny. Okay, so what is something that you just can't stop talking about right now? Everybody wishes you would, but you can't.
Well, there's so many things I can't stop talking about because I mostly just can't stop talking in general.
Okay. You're probably getting the idea.
Okay. But so lately my husband and I have been binge watching a show.
Okay, which one?
The Man in the High Castle.
Oh, I'm writing that down. Tell me about it.
It's intense. So it's on Amazon Prime and you can stream it. It's just the season 2 just got released.
Okay.
And we're like plowing through. So that's something we're doing. Our quality time is like popping popcorn and just like staring at the TV like, what just happened?
So is it like a mystery or what is?
Yeah. Okay. So it's an intense. It's not like a funny show or a light show by any means. It's kind of this dystopian reality of if Japan and Nazi Germany would have won World War II. And they like take over the United States and like
would there be more sushi though?
There is sushi on the West Coast because it's ran by Japan, but it's not like super happy over there.
It's not what I would want. Okay.
No, it's pretty sad and harsh.
So I'm not looking at the whole picture is what you're telling me.
Right.
Okay. I'm just looking at the fish.
Yeah. But it's the first season is a little bit slow, I think, because they just have to set up this crazy world, you know, and you kind of figure out what's going on. But by season 2, it's a lot faster paced, and I feel like there's a lot of themes that are relevant to our world today, even.
Okay.
And there are threads that talk about faith and kind of faith being, so there's this resistance that are trying to fight against the Nazis and against the kind of regime in the West Coast that is run by the Japanese. And there's this resistance. And one of the things that's like so subversive is that some of these people are people of faith because religion has been completely wiped out. And so that's just a really interesting thread that goes into it. And thinking about, you know, like if this happened to me in my world, would I just get in line, you know, like, it's easy for us to say that would never happen, you know, to these people and to our country. But I don't know. It's really interesting. It's a very thoughtful show. It's a little dark, but for people that are verbal processors like myself, like only my husband and I have been watching it. And I keep asking my friends, have you watched the show? And they're like, no. And I'm like, but I need someone to talk about it with.
You don't understand. Oh, that's so good. My husband, I think, would really like that. He loves watching shows and he doesn't do it a lot, but he likes quality time. And for him, watching a show with me is quality time. And for me, it's like incredibly painful because I'm like, what? We're just there. I don't love watching stuff. And so, that would be like a great way to love my husband is to watch a show like this. He would really like it.
Yeah.
You've given me a good piece of homework.
I mean, if you want to do something lighter, then just watch like The New Girl or something. But
I don't know any of these. The New Girl, is that also on Amazon Prime?
No, that's on Fox. That's with Zooey Deschanel. It's comedy. It's super funny. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Kayla, thanks for talking to me today. It's been really, really good.
Thanks for having me. It's fun.
You're so welcome. I hope you enjoy the rest of your night.
You too.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Hey guys, I hope that you pulled a lot out of that, especially if you have kiddos with special needs. I hope that was an encouraging peek into how she does that and how she keeps her relationship with her husband solid because they have a lot going on. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week? Maybe you need to put in place some friends that you can text when you need to reach out and ask for prayer or just to vent for a minute. I have my girls that I talk to on Voxer, which is a walkie-talkie app if you don't have it. I tend to isolate when I get busy because I get really focused on tasks. And if I'm not doing well, I really usually just don't reach out. I'm kind of bad about that. But they will kind of get on to me about where have you been? What are you doing? So that's helpful for me. So just kind of know where do you tend to go if you're going to end up in a ditch? What does that look like? And get some people around you to help you either not get in the ditch or help you out of the ditch when you get there, because that's life. So Kayla learned advocacy from her mom. And maybe as she was talking, there was some situation in your life that you thought, yes, like there's these people that I know or the situation that I keep running into in my everyday life. And those people need a voice or that situation needs to be resolved. And I've just been waiting for someone else to do it. maybe this week you can take some steps towards advocating for that person or situation. Maybe this week you check out Kayla's podcast with all of her lovely co-hosts called the Upside Down Podcast, and I will link to that in the show notes. I know for me, my strategy to struggle well is going to be to try watching that show, Man in the High Tower, with my husband, because I think he'd really feel loved if we did that. So I had such a blessing of opportunity to go to a gathering this weekend my friend Debbie Chapman put on called Refresh. And I wanted to share with you something that this woman named Kay said in her talk, because it really impacted me. She said that we need to create an environment where our own souls can be refreshed, whatever that looks like. I know this week I was at a parenting class at my church, and one of the women said that one of the time wasters we have is not planning ahead. And I am a planner, but I've gotten kind of lazy lately about planning, like, I don't know, just chores, or I don't know. I just feel like lately I'm always running behind because I'm not planning ahead. And that's wasting time and making an environment where I don't feel refreshed. I just feel completely run down. So then she also said that to be a refreshing to your family, which you can't do unless you're refreshed yourself by going to the source of refreshment, the Lord. But for me, having a refreshing environment means having it tidy, definitely not clean, but I can't see too much out of place and relax. I can't do that. So anyway, but to be refreshing to your family, once you're refreshed yourself, you have to, number one, know what season you're in. It's really hard to slow down and accept our limitations sometimes. I am completely talking to myself here. We need to know what season we're in and be okay with not doing things when it's not the right season. And then number two, let go of what doesn't work. She said she stopped trying to have family dinners because it just wasn't working for all the small children in her life, like getting her grandkids together and everything. And so what they started doing was having family breakfast, and it ended up being such a blessing for everybody because they just stopped doing the thing that wasn't working. So maybe this week your strategy to struggle well would be to say, what is just not working, and stop it. Again, like I said, I am totally talking to myself today. I spent a lot of time this afternoon with three of my girls just saying, what is wrong with my schedule? Why is it so busy? Why am I so frantic? And they helped me say, this needs to stop. You need to get help in this area, you know? And so just really helps to process when all the things you're doing are good and you really can't figure out what to cut out. That's when you got to bring people around you. We were made to do this together. So create an environment where your soul can be refreshed. What does that look like for you personally? How can you refresh your family? Know what season you're in and let go of what doesn't work. So I am praying for you guys. Proverbs 11:25 says that he who refreshes others, or she who refreshes others, will herself be refreshed. Lately, golly, I am just not refreshed. So I plan to spend some serious time with the Lord this week, asking him how I can be refreshed better, how I can better sort out my schedule so that I can be refreshed, and so that I can be refreshing to my family. And I hope you'll do the same thing. I think you guys are fantastic. Remember to get your mug and your tote if you haven't, and use the affiliate link for the show. If you're going to shop on Amazon, first go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon, and then you can do your shopping on Amazon through there like regular, and that helps to support the show. And then come see us all on Instagram on Wednesday night for Struggle Well Wednesday. It's a super fun time, and maybe we can get NyQuil or some other gigantic brand to pop in and wish us well. Maybe that can be one of our new goals. All right, guys, I'll talk to you later. Have a great week. Struggling well.